It's Monday, January 11th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey everyone, it's Monday, and yes, I am. I'm still in Vegas, I'm ready to get the heck out of here, head home to Honolulu. I got a kind of a short show for you tonight. We'll talk about that here in just a second. But I'm glad if you're joining us. I know you've been getting a lot of video here over the last couple of days. But the most important thing is, you know what's next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Las Vegas, Nevada via my portable recording studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show, and yes, my name is Todd Cochran. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast out via the podcast link on the website. And if you're checking out the show for the very first time, kind of a weird one for you tonight, folks, because it's been, as you know, I've been here in Vegas for a full week now, for a full 7 days. I arrived here, exactly 1 week ago. And boy, it almost seems like a month ago, to be honest with you. But I got in on Monday, January 4th, did the show that evening. And then the very next day, we started cranking and collecting content for the Consumer Electronics Show. As you have seen in the podcast RSS feed, we've fed you 4 daily wrap-ups, 2 NBC Universal special coverage events that we had, and it's been a nonstop event, just like years past. Of course, the show finished yesterday at 4, and be honest with you, I literally came back and got the boxes packed up for shipment out of here to send back home. And by the time that was done and we got the NBC Universal video out along with the daily wrap-up, it was already midnight. And I just basically collapsed in my bed. And by 9 this morning, I woke up and I just felt like someone had run me over with a truck. So, to be honest with you, I'm still fried. Really, it's the rest of the guys. I've been seeing, you know, here's and there's of tweets today, people heading back to home base. Andy flew back to Elkhart, Indiana. Jeffrey, of course, flew back to Minneapolis, and then all of our team members. Matter of fact, I just got a voicemail on the voicemail hotline from one of our team members that just got back into San Jose. Rob Blatt is still here. He's flying out tomorrow like I am to New York. Jack flew out for Dallas this morning. Everyone was spread to all different parts of the country. And so this morning I went to the business center, dropped off the boxes, and my suitcases are packed. And I've just kind of been moping around here today, taking it easy. Told Jeffrey last night, I said, man, I don't know if I can crank out a show tomorrow night or not, just because I was wiped. I'm still wiped. And so I took a little snooze this afternoon, and but I decided I wanted to get something out because I had promised you that I would. Of course, I want to welcome all of the Ohana to the Geek News Central podcast, and we are now back on audio only on the regular podcast feed, so there will be no more video that will come down the pipeline via iTunes on the podcast feed, okay? So you've got another year free of just only audio. Now, all the video for CES 2010 from here on out will be in the special media feed. You'll find that linked on the main page at geeknewscentral.com. So we've got a ton, just absolute metric ton of content for you that we'll be shoveling out here over the next couple of weeks. And I was actually going to work on videos today, and I said, forget it. I had really just needed a break from the rat race. So I fly back to Honolulu tomorrow. I will be in the normal studio on Thursday. Then I do a turnaround. I'm going to be flying out to Florida on Sunday night. I'm going to be in Florida for 2 weeks. Kind of a semi-expected trip, consulting trip. So I was expecting that to come through. It did come through. So I will be basically broadcasting live from Florida for 2 weeks, starting the week of, let me look here, January 18th. So we'll have regular scheduled shows. The streams will be up early because I'll be on Eastern Standard Time. So those of you that want to join the show live, we'll actually have all our regular broadcast rig. I'll have my main machine that I stream to Ustream on with VidBlaster. I will not have the extra Mac with me like we do on this particular run. But four shows from the road, from Florida. And I may even try to slip up and see my mom at some point the weekend of the 23rd, 24th, if that works out. So just to let you guys know what's coming on the schedule. But, collecting frequent flyer miles right off the bat here. So I guess I want to do is give you guys kind of just a 411 of what's been going on. I'm sure many of you have been following in the feed, but, you know, as you all know, unlike Engadget, who had a double wide here and a huge number of staff members, really everyone that was on our team was dedicated to collecting content. And all that content is on a hard drive, a 2 terabyte hard drive that has been backed up to a secondary drive as well. One of them is going with me. One went via FedEx today. But the content, I think we had nearly 500 gigs of high-def video that we shot, and all of them were 3 to 4 minute interviews with different vendors. I know we did well over 150 interviews. So what we're going to do is I will start cranking through the production of those over the next week, and we'll start pushing those videos, interviews, into the Geek News Central website. Of course, we'll be going cross-posting at geekazine.com, sdrnews.com as well, as long as it'll be up on Blip and the various channels that we have. The Geek News Central primary website has reverted back to pre-CES mode. There is a new link on the second column of the website, of course, so that you can get access to the special media feed as well and stay subscribed to that. I do want to thank the folks over at Zune. They featured GNC last week on their main page on the Zune Marketplace. We received huge, huge traffic from Zune last week. Download numbers are pretty incredible, so that was fantastic. So if you're a new viewer, or listener, and you have come via the Zune Marketplace, we want to encourage you to stay subscribed. What this show normally is twice a week, every Monday and Thursday night, I record an hour to hour and 15 minute audio program. It contains about 15 minutes of me just chatting about what's going on in the world, and then about 45 to 50 minutes of content followed by comments from listeners of the show. Normally when we're in Honolulu, I stream from my studio there, a multiple camera setup. When I'm on the road, I do have multiple cameras as well, but it's just a little bit of a different streaming rig when I'm traveling. And as you can see today in the background, this is coming from a regular camera from a Mac, and it's just right here in the hotel room. But anyway, two shows a week, released Tuesday and Friday, and of course you can subscribe to those via iTunes, via Zune Marketplace, via your BlackBerry, via your iPhone, whatever way you're consuming content today, or just watch us on the web. But the CES content will continue, again, for probably 3 to 4 weeks, I would imagine. We may not be the fastest, but I think we'll provide you some inclusive looks of some content that you probably haven't seen with other content creators. We pride ourselves in really going out there and digging and finding the stuff that we feel is innovative and stuff that we thought that all of you would like to review. So again, that content will start being pushed later in the week. The team really came together just like we had two pre-meetings where we spent about an hour with the team talking about the processes that we're going to go through. A main goal I said this year is I wanted 1,000 Flickr photos shot. We, at last check on the Flickr page, we had 1,018 images from CES. So I'll have a link to the Flickr images. It's under Tech Podcast on Flickr. You'll be able to find it that way. But a huge stream of pictures from a variety of events, vendors, and so forth. So that is the first time that we've had that many images up on online this fast after the show. They're all tagged and up there. That's one thing about pictures. They're just easy to push in bulk and tag, unlike content that's really productionized. The back channel video this year is obviously pretty much all pushed. It's in a pretty eclectic group of videos. The back channel contains just everything. It's shot with little small mini non-pro cameras. The audio varies from good to horrible. The content varies from intriguing to boring. Everything from a taxi ride to a walk in the halls of CES. So that video is all up for your viewing pleasure. Now comes the real juicy stuff. We attended CES Unveiled. We did Digital Experience. We did Showstoppers. And actually, an interesting thing that happened at Showstoppers is we arrived on time, got in there. We had taken the JVC that night because we were tired of carrying the big Sony rig. And I had switched out the memory when we got into the show, before the show, and sent the memory that was full with the guys back to the hotel to be offloaded. And a little backstory about this is the Kingston 32 gig SD HC cards, Type 4 memory that we stuck in the JVC, for a better word, didn't work. And I had four 32 gig sticks that became from being very expensive to worthless in seconds. So we lost actually an hour of collection time at Showstoppers just due to the fact that we didn't have no memory for the camera. And I thought I had tested all that memory before I left Honolulu, but maybe it was one of those things I overlooked. So the guys scrambled from the hotel, and they ran down to the Wynn and got us the memory sticks, and we were able to get all the content we wanted to shoot there. That was a four-hour event, so luckily we were able to get that done. And, of course, the 4 days of CES. We actually covered the halls pretty quickly. South Hall, which is normally the biggest venue to cover, the bottom floor, not all of the building was used, which was completely surprising. Still high density of traffic of people at the show. We had two teams on the ground really helped because we were able to cover a lot more ground a lot faster. So really by day four, we were kind of in wrap-up mode. We'd been through all the halls. We went through the international stuff. That took about an hour. But the NBC Universal coverage really was place markers for us to really make an impact. Now, on Saturday, they moved our time up at NBC Universal by an hour, and we sent an email to all of you letting you know that, those of you that were on the newsletter mailing list. Of course, if you want to be on that, you can subscribe to that via the main website at geeknewscentral.com. But what we found when we went live is that the streaming camera, although we were streaming, recording in 16:9, the camera was pushing in 4:3, and we had everything set up for 16:9, so the picture was a little bit oblonged. So we just let her run for the 1 hour on, of course, our live stream on NBC Universal. But a little over 8,500 people joined us for those 43 minutes that we streamed live from the event. That was the NBC Universal folks were completely ecstatic about the coverage. We were real pleased with the flow of how everything went. And, the little secret, we had been so busy collecting stuff that Annie and I and Jeffrey sat down about 7 minutes before we were to begin the NBC Universal coverage and actually worked out the schedule. We know who the guests were going to be, but we worked out our game plan. But we've done enough stuff together that it went pretty smooth. And then, of course, Sunday, the event for that. Ustream did not punch us to the front page that day. But we actually helped another podcasting group, that cameraman who had been hurt, And by the time we got done with our 51-minute show, we had gained enough traction on Ustream to actually bounce them into their front page. And I think they did about 6,500 views for the hour that they were, or the 30 minutes or so that they were on Sunday. But just to give you an idea, what I'm seeing in the stat system so far on the content is the daily wrap-up shows are averaging about 400,000 downloads apiece. The NBC Universal stuff is it's still climbing. Lots of consumption there. So we're really, really pleased with the numbers. And, of course, our good friends at GoToAssist Express sponsored us out here for CES 2010. And you'll hear more about them on the CES-specific venues. But, of course, this show continues to be sponsored in part by GoToMeeting, and we hope that you'll give them a free 30-day demo, or give it, you know, basically give GoToMeeting a try, and we'll talk more about GoToMeeting on later shows. But again, GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast, you can get it for free 30-day demo. And of course, GoDaddy, a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central as well. Looking for domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, GoDaddy's where it's at. Get over to GoDaddy.com, pick up a product, and when you do, don't forget your geek here at Geek News Central. There's some promo codes on the website, or you can use the one Todd, T-O-D-D, will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale will get you domains at $7.49. Well, anyway, so that kind of really wrapped up the, you know, CES in a nutshell. From the shows here on out, we're going to go back to the regular format. We'll be doing regular news and commentary about what's going on in the tech space. And but I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of a show today on the audio side, so that you will not be missing me until we do the first show when I'm back in the saddle in Honolulu. For the most part, I hope you enjoyed the content. Everything so far has been positive. It's been sent back to us. Obviously, you haven't seen, you know, even a, you know, not even a fifth of the stuff that we've collected. You got to see some of the vendors. I think from my perspective, when I, you know, when I go to a show, I rate it upon what do I want to buy when I leave the show. And there's only a few things that I want to buy. And most of those were highlighted on our shows at NBC. You've been able to see those already, those products and services. But as we go through and start putting more stuff online for you, we really dug hard. This is, you know, being a year where the economy was down, a lot of companies did not bring to market a lot of content, I mean a lot of new products. But there is enough deltas in some offerings that I think you'll be excited about some of the stuff coming up. Now, I want to talk a little bit about 3D. 3D at the show was, you know, that was the buzzword, 3D TV. And we sat in, at the very last thing we did on Sunday, we sat in on a demo by Panasonic, and they had their new 3D TVs and their new 3D content tied to it. And what I basically can say is that while watching a football game in 3D that's been produced in 3D was cool, the clarity, you know, you see this runner coming at you, and it looks amazing. You've been able to see the snap close. It's like you're right on in the field with them. But when the quarterback throws the football, it's almost like instead of a solid object flying, you almost see like a speckle. So there is some, for a better word, it loses, even though you've got more clarity and depth, there's some stuff that is happening that it, to me, looks artificial, or there's artifacts. And the entire group pretty much agreed kind of on that same level. While impressive, I don't know. You know, they're going to push 3D hard. I don't know if it's going to continue to be something. But, you know, think about this. Normally, are you going to sit around in front of, you know, when you're watching, some like me, if I'm watching sports, usually I'm not watching intently. If I hear the crowd roar or something on TV, I'll turn over and look. If it's in 3D, I'll have to put on the glasses and look, right? Or imagine having 10 friends over. Are you all going to be wearing 3D glasses looking at the screen? I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. I just think this was not the year for 3D. As much as they pushed it to be and wanted to, really hype it, I really think it was more the year of the dorky 3D glasses versus being the actual, the year of 3D. So that's kind of what I got to think about that specific category. I think also there's going to be a lot of improvements in personal media players or personal media consumption devices. We saw a company that had a little small handheld player that was used to replace the DVD players you may have for your kids when you travel or something you may travel with on an airplane. Those were pretty nice and a nice size to be able to watch video on in HD. There was a whole plethora of stuff. And I would be remiss if I went into all of it right now because I wouldn't be doing it justice here. But anyway, folks, I'm not going to spend much more time on the show tonight talking about this. I do have a few voicemails that I want to play that came in since the last show. We'll get to the emails on the next podcast because I know there's a number of those. But I want to clear the voicemail queue. We'll start right off. We'll go into those, and then I'll have some final comments for you tonight. And again, we'll go back to regular programming for the show on Thursday. From Honolulu, but if you have comments on today's show or anything that we've produced during CES, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. For those of you overseas in one of the 160 countries that we have listeners in, plus 1-619-342-7365. Here's the first voicemail.
Hey, Todd, this is Max out in Texas. Hey, just giving you a call in regards to your request for the IoSafe demonstration coming up at CES. Some of the previous tests did sound rather extreme, but just thinking a little more practical here as far as what the IoSafe may be subjected to during home or business use. You did cover fire, you did cover flood, and you did mention dropping it, which is subjected to some abuse it might see in the home or business. The only thing I didn't hear you mention was subjecting it to electrical shock. That would be about the only thing I could think of. It might come across for home or business use. So let's see if they'll honor that request. And the only other thing I could think of it might be subjected to would be an attack by ants. Other than that, hey, appreciate it. All your info you bring us on your show. And look forward to the new information you bring to us during CES coverage. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Hey, so far as the IoSafe demo, sadly, they had it way off-site. And the time they were going to pick us up, the time to take the demo, time to get back was 3 hours. And I really couldn't afford to send a team off-site for 3 hours for the demo. There's plenty of video online. I'll see if I can find a link to it, and we can watch some of the other venues that covered the actual demo. So I'll get that linked up for you in the show notes, or we'll find a link for it. But you're right. But I think when I look at the case, I think it would probably do okay with some sort of external electrical shock to it, the way they have the drive insulated. Again, I don't know how well they've grounded the unit out, but some good points there, and we'll have to send an email over to the IoSafe guys and see what they come up with. Thanks for the call, and I apologize we weren't able to actually do the, cover that actual event. It just was not enough people, not enough resources to make it happen, even with 9 people on the ground here in Vegas. Okay, here comes the next voicemail.
Hello, Todd. This is Hamid. Long time no call. I'm talking kind of slowly because I'm on a cell phone, so you can hear me clearly. Anyway, about the last show, yeah, I liked it. I just forgot to comment on it. So, yeah, you should do more of those. And Actually, another comment I had was about that hard drive you're talking about, the one that's fireproof and whatever, and waterproof, and that they're going to drop it off of a building and whatever. How would, just like if you can drill it, or, you know, like for instance, when it's old, once it's old, you know, later on down the road, how would you get rid of it? Because if you can't break it, if it's almost unbreakable, how the heck do you get rid of it? Because you don't want, remember, you don't want people getting on your data, so that was my comment on that. And, also, I just wanted to ask you a favor. If you could ask Rob Greenleaf, I know he's not a media center guy, but I know he's like a, you know, he can talk to them. If he can ask them, since I haven't seen the video podcasts, I mean, I set up my internet connection and I set up the downloads automatically, you know, the automatically download thing. How do you update those video podcasts? Do they update themselves and, you know, saying, I'll keep waiting a bit more and see if they, because they did update, the Tedzilla one did anyway. But when I set up, but then what happens later on? Will they just randomly update? All right, so, and also why they removed HSN Vision? I thought it would be in the extras gallery, which it was in the explore option in Vista, but it's gone. So thanks a lot, Todd, if you could do that, you know, thing, ask him. And also if he can, like, get a hold of somebody I can talk to or email at the Media Center team. You know, like, one guy I can think of is Mike Steeman, so he can get Mike Steeman's email or whatever. All right, so thanks a lot. See you later. Sorry for the quality. It's just I'm on my cell phone. Goodbye.
Hey, the quality was fine. Don't worry. Hey, long time no hear to you, from you as well. Glad you're still subscribed to the show and part of the Ohana here. Hey, if you want to reach out to Rob, he's actually accessible via email. I know that he's more than happy to entertain questions. His email is rob@zoom.net. Just easy as could be, rob@zoom.net. Fire him off an email. I'm sure he will... answer, you know, just be very precise in asking him, you know, telling him what the problem is and, you know, what you're seeing or what you're not seeing. And I'm sure he will help you out. He was actually on the 24-hour podcast and we did a special segment on the Windows Media Center and how the Zoom Marketplace is kind of interacting with that a little bit. So, yeah, send him an email at rob@zoom.net. And, yeah, you heard on the previous thing that we did not go to the IOSafe demo. But I will tell you on that that encapsulation, you can take it apart. It is designed to be opened up, and you can actually get to it if you get to the drive if you need to. I do think that it is not difficult. You have to go through two or three layers of stuff to get it open, but you can. So at least that's my understanding. I may not be 100% correct on that. Okay, let me go ahead and play the next voicemail that had came in since we did the last regular show.
What's up, Todd? This is Shane in Georgia. Just listened to the podcast from 12/29/09 talking about the tax on Amazon and all internet products. Hopefully you'll change your opinion on that. I understand local businesses have a hard time competing, but you can't just punish one company because they're doing well. Instead of trying to make the playing field level by punishing the big companies or the big internet companies like Amazon, I think the thing to push would be to eliminate taxes, sales tax on local business. Instead of trying to add a tax to another company, why don't we push for taking away taxes from the small business people? I think that's the way to make things right. Two wrongs don't make a right. So punishing one company because another company is having trouble is not the right way to go about doing things. And to think that adding taxes on to Amazon or any big internet company, sales tax, is going to improve, you know, the small guys, local business, stuff like that, I don't believe that for an instance. Whatever money states take in, they're going to find a way to waste it. It's been proven over and over and over again. So hopefully you'll change your position on that. And but pretty bold of you to even come out and say that. Have a good week.
Hey, you know, I agree that everyone should have a you know, there's less taxes, less intrusive government. I think we all agree that no one likes paying any more on taxes. And it's, you know, I hate paying taxes. You know, my monthly general ex, or my quarterly general excise tax that I have to pay the state of Hawaii is simply ridiculous. The cost of doing business in Hawaii is very expensive, and I would love to have a tax break per se. But, you know, I understand if you think about margins on goods, most companies run 4%, 5%, 6% is their, you know, their margin, their profit margin on products. And if a, let's say it costs Amazon a dollar to get this, and I'm just using this hypothetically, a dollar to get this chapstick that I'm holding up in the Ustream window. And it cost the local vendor a dollar to get the chapstick locally, and that's with shipping and everything. And then Amazon can sell it for $1.07. Okay, so that's, you know, that's including the free shipping back to the consumer. You know, I'm just using this as an example, and the local vendor has to charge not only get his profit margin of 7 cents or whatever it may be, but have to charge another 5% on top of that. Now his product is at $1.12. Very hard to compete, even if the local merchant can get the product at the same price. You know, this is why Walmart and other companies have really decimated local businesses, is because, you know, Walmart can go in and demand a price that your local vendor can't. Now, we have all, you can either say won or lost by, you know, the ability of Walmart and big boxes to secure lower pricing for us. But that also has resulted in, again, the lower number of people being employed in a local community, which is bringing, you know, salaries in and adding to the tax base. So, you know, in essence, Walmart may be causing all of our taxes to go up. Or even Amazon, making, because if they're not generating the revenue locally from sales, they're going to take it out of the height of the small businesses in the community. So, it's, you know, it's just this vicious cycle. And while I, for years, had always said that there should never be a sales tax on internet goods, you know, that 4 or 5% or some, you know, California, 9%. In some states, it's more. New York, I know they have a huge sales tax. It can be a, you know, how does a local business compete with that? That's the question, okay? So that's something we all have to, you know, consider. I know that I agree. Taxes in general are bad, and I hate paying taxes, any, you know, just like the rest of us do. If we didn't have to pay taxes, our lives would all probably be a lot better. And but then again, it's that's not the reality of the situation. So I don't know. You know, it's twisted logic, but I guess what it boils down to is that there will not be small merchants in your hometowns that you will be able to get a job from, because they cannot compete with internet-based companies, largely and partially and not exclusively, because there is this 5, 6, 7, or 8, or 9% advantage that the internet companies online have over others. So I guess what it means is we all need to have a local business where we sell to the 49 other states and compete that way. And I guess, you know, a lot of companies have done that. You know, they can, most of their customer base is out of state versus in state, which, you know, seems really backwards to me. But I don't know. We'll see where it goes from there. And but, you know, I agree, tax in general, bad for all of us. Okay, this last voicemail came from Tom Newman from Fogview Podcast at fogview.com. Tom's going to, we were talking about his show, and he's actually going to be cranking up production of his show a little bit more, and we hope to get him over at Tech Podcast here shortly. But Tom was one of the guys that was out here supporting us. He did a great job, did a lot of stuff on the picture side, and humped cameras, and, you know, just everyone was a super trooper. Here's the voicemail from Tom as he landed in San Jose today, and we'll see what Tom has to say.
Hi, Todd. This is Tom from the Fog View podcast, and it's Monday, and I just flew in from Las Vegas to San Jose and heading on home here, and just wanted to call and say thanks a lot for had a great time in Las Vegas. I think the Tech Podcast team did a great job. We covered a lot of stuff, and I think the highlight was probably a couple of highlights, but the 2 days did at NBC Universal, and also hanging out with the rest of the crew. Everybody did a great job. Everybody pulled together, and I thought it was just a wonderful thing, and I think the coverage we got was great. And again, I think one of the big pluses there was the NBC Universal shoot that we did for the 2 hours. In fact, we actually shot more because we filled in for another cameraman and did their show too for the Plan 8 podcast. So I think everything was great, and looking forward to doing it next year. Also, I saw the pictures up on Geek News Central, and if people want to go and see more pictures of still pictures of what we took at Comdex, you can go to Flickr/photos/tech podcast. That's podcast, tech podcast with an S, and you'll see all the great pictures that we're taking up there. I did notice that you put two pictures up on Geek News Central and showing the NBC shoot. There was one picture that I was going to put to Flickr, but decided not to, and that was the one where you were praying on stage. Not sure what that was all about, but I decided not to post that one. But anyway, I think it was just the way you were positioning. It looked like you were praying before the shoot, hoping that everything was going to go well, which it went marvelous. And my hat's off to the whole team, but also to you, to Andy, and to Jeffrey for doing a great job hosting and getting in and out all of the guests that were there. Also, I think on one of the other shows, you had mentioned, one of your listeners had mentioned, that a great tip for you would be to add a video display to the back of, into your studio there when you do your Geek News Central podcast, and you display it on the video. If you look at the back screen, the LCD that was in the back of the NBC studios, they had the podcast logo up there, and it turned out great. It just added a little bit of eye color, I think, eye candy to the whole video shot. And that's probably what would help yours, too. Put that back there. You can put your Geek News Central logo up there and also change it out. I think it would add another dimension to your video. All right. Anyway, that's it. I'm heading home to sleep. Didn't get much of that this last week. So anyway, have a great trip back to Hawaii, and I guess we'll talk to you later. As you say, aloha. Bye.
Thanks, Tom, and thanks for all your hard work this week. It, sleep is on the agenda, definitely. I think we're all, I always say when I come back from Vegas from this show, I actually need a vacation. It's because unless you're here, people just don't realize the lengths and the legwork and the I didn't go to bed any night during the show earlier than 1 or 1:30, and then right back up at about 5 or 5:30 ready to roll out the door. So you do that 4 or 5 days in a row, plus walking all day long and trying to keep the energy up for interviews and everything. I'm not crying. I'll stop. You guys heard enough of it. Thanks to everyone that came out and just hung out with me today, or is listening to the show on Ustream, of course. A little short show, non-traditional podcast for this podcast. But we'll be back with you again on Thursday for the regular show and for the regular content. So I know you're excited about that and getting back into regular geeky stuff as usual. But it's been my pleasure to bring you this show. It's been our pleasure, of course, to bring you the content and the ongoing content that you'll see on the website at geeknewscentral.com, sdrnews.com, techpodcast.com, and geekazine.com. Big thanks to all of my cohorts out here. Of course, the entire team, Kara Karsten, Tom Newman, Rob Blatt, Jack Davis, Scott, and, boy, I'm missing one here. Andy, Jeffrey, and, of course, what was the other? Oh, boy, and Bob. Big thanks for their support as well as we did this. We got some cool stuff, some ideas for next year. And we really had a moment of, or at least I did, had a pretty significant aha moment during the show that I think when we go and actually we've started planning for 2011 already, taking lessons learned from this show, moving it into the 2011 planning, if we can pull off what I want to pull off, I think that the number of views we'll be able to do on the content is significantly higher. Obviously, the content that's coming generally receives between 13 to 15 million views on all the content that we're going to be pushing in the next couple of weeks. But I think we can easily double that in 2011 with just a small change to our strategy. Well, that's going to be small. It's going to be a big change to our strategy. But we'll see what happens. And, you know, really, Tom was saying that he had one picture of me that looked like I was praying. It's doing something like this. We were under significant pressure to really do well at NBC. And I was pretty well stressed out wanting to make sure that those two events were as perfect as they could be. And it was really critical that we pulled that off at the level that we did. I can say that they were very happy with our performance, very happy with the numbers, very happy with the exposure, and we're happy that they invited us. You know, to think that this started kind of in a hotel room like this 5 years ago, and that the vision for Tech Podcast was really formulated in around this same exact time period 5 years ago. We've come a long way. You know, with appearances on Fox Business and previous CESs, BBC, regular appearances, but now with, you know, having two live events on at the NBC Universal main stage, really set the tone for what is forthcoming. And I think as you guys view that content, I think you're going to be as excited as I am of what is potential for this show and for the associated shows that work with us at CES in years past. And this can be duplicated across many, many, many shows. And Tom has promised me when he goes to Macworld next week, he's actually going to provide us some content from Macworld as well. So those of you that are Mac listeners of the show, you're going to get some Mac content or Mac coverage from Tom on scene there in Vegas. We look forward to seeing what Tom comes up with. Okay, I promise this was going to be short. I've already talked 42 minutes. So anyway, regular show next week. Thursday, back in Honolulu, back in the studio. And everything is out of here. I'm out of here at 4:30 in the morning. So even though it's still early here in Vegas, I'm going to do what you should do in Vegas. Instead of going and wasting money, I'm going to relax, get a nice meal, and go to bed. And be ready to crank things out in Honolulu. So, again, if you have comments on tonight's short, non-standard format show, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. And definitely check out the love to hear you guys' feedback on everything that we've provided you so far and what's coming in the future from from Geek News Central and, of course, part of the Tech Podcast Network. My name is Todd Cochran from geeknewscentral.com. Everyone take care. And if you're seeing in Ustream, I'm just throwing you the shaka. Aloha. All right, folks. I will hang here just a few minutes in the Ustream. And